Take it as a great joy to be able to share with you. As Peter mentioned, we are continuing a series, Jesus Did What? But I have a question for you. Have you ever come across a conversation that didn't turn out to be the kind of conversation you thought it was? For instance, me and I have been living in Surrey Hills for just over 2 years. We've loved living there. It's a great place to live. So many coffee shops, cafes. The moment we walk out the door, it's like we're instant date afternoon or date night. Well, one beautiful Saturday afternoon, we're just walking down the street. The sun is shining, just that perfect day. Then all of a sudden, we hear this intense conversation taking place between a young man and a young woman. I mean, one of those conversations that just stops you in your tracks. And as it progresses, it becomes very verbally violent. And it comes to that situation where, I don't know, that superhero complex starts to rise up in you, like, do I run and save the day? But then all of a sudden, it turns physical. Now, we couldn't actually see the conversation taking place. But you could tell between the young man and the young woman, a physical fight broke out. And she sounded like she was in extreme distress. I mean, talk about alarm bells going off. I mean, your heart's sinking. You're like, what am I going to do? And so we quickly go around the corner to find out what is actually taking place. In a split second, everything changes. Two people practicing a drama. Nothing's going on. Everything's great. They're having a great time. In a moment's time, the context of the situation, the context of the conversation completely changed in our minds. And today, Peter mentioned, we are continuing our series, Jesus Did What? We're going to talk about what Jesus did in John chapter 4. Because Jesus has this conversation with this woman. And understanding that context of that conversation will help us understand exactly what Jesus actually was doing and the significance of what he did as recorded in John chapter 4. So we will jump into John chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me some water to drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Jews and Samaritans did not associate with each other. Now it's important to set the scene for this conversation that's taking place before we go any further. As you can see, you probably understand from her response, Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. Not only did they not like each other, it's safe to say they hated each other. They had a long history of dislike. So if a Jew was going to travel between Galilee and Judea, no matter what direction they were going, and they were typing in their Google Maps, the quickest direction to get there, the route would take them straight through Samaria. The quickest route to their destination would be straight through Samaria. But we all know when we type in our Google Maps, we don't always take the direct route. Because in our minds, the direct route is not always the best route. We have our different reasons for that. Maybe the direct route has bumper-to-bumper traffic. For a Jew, the direct route between the two locations was not, in their eyes, the best route for them to take. And that was because of the dissension that they experienced between the two of them. And often it was not uncommon for them to be attacked when they went between one location to the other. So they would take this long journey all the way around. And so when it says Jesus had to go into Samaria, it's not so much he had to physically go through because there was absolutely no other route. He had to go through because something significant was about to take place. It was important for him to go through Samaria because there's that dissension that went all the way back to the 700s BC. If any of you are up to date on your Jewish history, In the 700s BC, the Assyrians conquered the northern tribes of Israel. And when Assyrians conquered the land, they would take the strong, the able bodies, and relocate them. And then other nations, other cultures that they had conquered, they would then take a mix of those people and then bring them into the land that they just conquered. So it becomes a big melting pot of cultures, religion, and people group. Essentially, they would lose their identity of who they were because they would mix people, and which would make it hard for a nation that they just conquered to unite and rise again if they were dispersed and intermingled with others. And then it's in the 500s BC that the Babylonians came, conquered the rest of Israel, conquered the Assyrian Empire, and then the Jews are in the Babylonian exile. Has anyone heard of the Babylonian exile? We got a few hands. Well, this was in the early 500s BC, so roughly 200 years has spanned between the two. And then the Jews came out of exile. And they returned to their great land. They returned to the land of the fathers. And they're excited to come back, excited to rebuild the temple. Now, those that remained in that area had a kind of mixture of different cultures and religions. And when the Jews returned, they were not warmly received. When they wanted to rebuild the temple, those that remained in the land were not fans of that. And those that remained in the land considered themselves to be the true descendants of Abraham. And so there's this racial conflict that was between the two people. There was a religious conflict between the two people. So you fast forward several hundred years to the time of Jesus, and there's a long history of this tension that's between these two groups. So that's part of the situation that's going on right now, and the significance of Jesus going into Samaria. Another significant aspect is that Jesus is having this conversation alone with a woman. Now, a holy Jewish man just did not do that. One, he didn't want to be tempted into falling into immorality, or he didn't want to create a situation that gossip could start. Also, during that time, I'm sorry, ladies, I'm sorry, but women were not, well, treated very well. They were viewed more as property than as individuals, which is very sad about that time. And so why would Jesus be having this conversation with someone that doesn't really matter in some of the eyes of the other people during that time? And not only that, this woman that we'll see here soon, we haven't read it yet, she has the worst reputation. Her reputation is not a solid one. We'll find out later that she had been married 5 times, been divorced 5 times. And then she was living with a man that was not her husband. So, it's a rough area that nobody likes, talking to a gender that people don't respect, to a woman that has a poor reputation. This is the conversation that's taking place. What's also interesting about this passage is the fact that all this takes place at noon. Why is it significant that it took place at noon? Women would not go to the well to collect water at noon. Why? Because it was hot in the Middle East. If I have a fight with the sun wins every single time. I need to avoid that sun. I need to make sure I put a lot of sunblock on. I will get destroyed worse than Peter was destroyed yesterday. And so people just didn't go out. They would go at the morning, early morning, late afternoon, the cooler point of the day, where it's easier. Likely, majority of theologians that I read about this passage would agree that she likely went at noon because she was ashamed. She knew what her reputation was. She wasn't warmly accepted by the other women at the well at other times of the day. So she needed to go when no one else was there. Because what's also significant about her past and the fact that she was divorced 5 times is, I mentioned that women were not respected then. They were not respected very much at all. And they didn't have the right to divorce anybody. So think about that. She didn't have the right to divorce anybody. So that means the men divorced her. So she had been rejected 5 times. Think of that rejection that she had felt, the shame that she felt, She probably wanted to avoid people at all cost. So that's the scene of this conversation that is taking place. So let's continue on. Let's continue on in chapter 4, but verse 10. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift, who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become, in those who drink, a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water." Now, living water back then was understood as moving water. Living water was not a pool of stagnant water that had been sitting there for a while. It was fresh water. But we know Jesus is not referring to physical water. He's not referring to water that we drink when we have a thirst that we need to quench. Sorry, I had a little thirst there. But he's not talking about that kind of thirst. He's talking about a thirst on the inside, a thirst that cannot be quenched practically. And we see a great picture of this expounded upon three chapters later in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. "On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, 'All who are thirsty should come to me. All who believe in me should drink. As the scripture said concerning me, rivers of living water will flow out from within him.' Jesus said this concerning the Spirit. Those who believed in him would soon receive the Spirit, but they hadn't experienced the Spirit yet, since Jesus hadn't been glorified." Jesus was offering a quench to an eternal thirst that only the Holy Spirit could quench. Now we can see from her response in chapter 4, she wasn't quite understanding what Jesus was saying. And she's not the first one. The disciples, plenty of times, completely miss what Jesus was saying. But you see her refer to Jacob. Now, the Samaritans, they had some very different religious views and understanding of who God was and what worship looked like than the Jews. But they did believe that they were true descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there's a connection that a Samaritan and Jew would have when those names were thrown out. And so she had a great respect for Jacob. Here she is still drinking today from a well that Jacob provided forever ago. That's fascinating. That's providing living, fresh water for many generations. So how could Jesus be greater than Jacob and provide a water greater than what Jacob had provided? But again, we know that's just not about the physical water that Jacob provided, but Jesus is providing the Holy Spirit to quench a thirst of our soul that is lasting forever. So let's keep going. You still with me? There's a lot of verses we're getting through, but this passage is so remarkable, and I think it's important that we actually look at the entirety of it. Jumping back into verse 16, we're still in chapter 4 of John. Jesus said to her, "Go get your husband and come back here." The woman replied, "I don't have a husband." "You are right to say I don't have a husband," Jesus answered. "You've had five husbands, and the man you are now with isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth." The woman said, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you and your people say that it is necessary to worship in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you don't know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming and is here when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. The Father looks for those who worship Him this way. God is spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will teach everything to us. Jesus said to her, I am. I am the one who speaks with you. What a powerful moment right there Jesus is having with this woman. Now, we've already talked about the bitter division between the Jews and Samaritans. One of those bitter divisions was the temple, as you just saw, was addressed. As roughly 400 BC, the Samaritans built their own temple as opposed to the one that was in Jerusalem. And there's this argument where worship would actually be centered around. And for the Jews, worship at the temple was key. It was crucial. Everything revolved around the temple. It was a place that heaven and earth intersected. So it wasn't just a minor disagreement that they had, but it was a significant disagreement. But Jesus he points out that, yes, the Samaritans are misguided in their knowledge of God and their worship. There's recognition about the location of worship, but He doesn't get into that debate. He talks about a new thing that is coming. And He explains what true worship is, which is fascinating, which is taking place right now. Because this woman is a mess. And Jesus still went and had this conversation. Jesus knew the situation that she was in. Jesus knew where she was from. Jesus knew what her background was. She didn't have to tell Jesus what her background was. Here He knew what she had been caught up with. But Jesus didn't come just to give salvation to the Jews. He came to give salvation to all, which Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 is great. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. Jesus is breaking down those racial barriers. Jesus is breaking down the division that people had. Jesus is expressing a new humanity. Jesus is telling people, let go of the old stagnant water that you partake in. Take the living water that I'm offering you. This is the truth, and this is what true worship is. He came to unite people. He came to give new life to all. And what's fascinating here, this woman, after this conversation and after this encounter with Jesus, it says she runs back to tell people. Here's a woman that likely was so ashamed of who she was, so rejected that she would go to the well at the heat of the day when the sun was at one of its worst point to avoid people. And after an encounter with Jesus, she's running back to people. Like there's a sense of ashamedness that is just completely gone, which is fascinating. And she runs back to tell people about this encounter. Regardless of her past, regardless of her situation, she changed when she encountered Jesus. So let's continue the story in verse 27 and then to 30, and then I'll jump to 39. We'll skip a dialogue that Jesus has with His disciples, which I do encourage you to take a look at later. Verse 27, just then Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that He was talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? The woman put down her water jar and went into the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be the Christ? They left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. And jump into verse 39. Many Samaritans in the city believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked Him to stay with them. And He stayed with them 2 days. Many more believed because of His word. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world. The way this passage ends is fascinating. Again, this is a woman that was so disheartened. But after an encounter with Jesus, she becomes the first evangelist to the Samaritans. That's significant in this encounter that Jesus is having with this woman. She, a Samaritan woman, who's had a rough past, a terrible reputation, encounters Jesus, is changed, is transformed, is given a new identity, and then becomes the first evangelist to the Samaritans, which is so fascinating. Because this is a story about a person at their lowest point in the worst town, the most hated area, going through the toughest time in her life. And Jesus has reached out to her. Jesus has brought light into her darkness. Jesus has taken her old water jar away and given her new living water, given her a new life. Jesus has come to cleanse us from our sins. He's come to give us a new path to live. He wants us to carry that new identity, where that old identity no longer has hold of us. So I have two questions in closing for you guys to think about today and this week. The first one is, what water source are you drinking from? I realize that we have guests at different times, or maybe members of the church that have been coming for a little while. Maybe you have never for the first time surrendered your old water jar and accepted the living water of Jesus Christ. Have you come to Him? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit and the living water that He has to offer? There will be a time at the very end of the service. I would love to pray with you. I would love to have a chat with you if that is you. For others, maybe you're still trying to drink from the living water of Jesus and still hold on to your old water jar. You can't completely let go of your identity, whether you want to or you're still feeling ashamed. But remember, this woman, one of the worst situations ever in a very hated area, received a new identity when she encountered Jesus, and a boldness came over her to the point where she could run back into the village and testify what just took place. Acts 4 talks about the Holy Spirit when it came over the disciples, that they spoke in boldness. You too can have that boldness. Ask the Lord to continue to get that boldness daily to live by that. And the last question I have is, our series is, what did Jesus do? What did He do in this situation? I'll tell you what Jesus did. Jesus went into Samaria. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went into Samaria and had a conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well. And we just learned the significance of that. And that's what Jesus did. So my question for you is, will you go into Samaria? Will you follow Jesus into Samaria? Because this is the thing. God did call the Jews to be His people. God did set them apart for a purpose. But that purpose was to reveal God Himself to others. That purpose was to redeem humanity. And Jesus came to fulfill that purpose. There's times where the Jews kind of misunderstood their purpose. And sometimes they became overzealous. Sometimes God had to redirect them a little bit. And sometimes that jealousy, sometimes they would become jealous also. Sometimes that overzealousness could lead to a bit of racism, which there definitely was racism, really, between the Jews and Samaritans on both sides that was present there. But again, Jesus came, went into Samaria to break the walls down. Jesus was fulfilling the call that God started with Abraham. He was fulfilling the destiny of the people of God, the Jews, to reach out to all people. So how's that impact us today? Well, Jesus has come. We are saved through Him. We've been given living water. And we haven't been given living water. We haven't been redeemed. Our sins haven't been forgiven just for ourselves to be saved. Yes, we have salvation. We're in right relationship with God. But that's just not for ourselves. That's so we can also take part in God's kingdom work here and now on earth. That we can go into all the world and share and preach His good news. We are here and we are saved, yes, because Jesus loves us, but also because He loves us and loves others. We need to walk this out. So my question of, will you follow Jesus into Samaria? It's not really a question that you get to say no to. It's a question that we really need to say yes to. So can we follow Jesus into Samaria? Can we go to places that make us feel uncomfortable? Can we talk to people that Christians stereotypically shun? We cannot put ourselves on a high horse and think that we're better than the rest of humanity because we know who Jesus Christ is. Sometimes the Jews, they did amazing, great things, but sometimes they would elevate themselves above others and look down because they view themselves as people of God. Now, God never wanted them to see that or do that. But I'm sure there's plenty of you, maybe yourself personally, have experienced it or seen other Christians elevate themselves above others. Now, we've come to be servants. We've come to be empowered with the boldness of the living water, the Holy Spirit, to go into Samaria. So I challenge you to say yes to that question. I challenge you this week to go into Samaria, follow Jesus into Samaria, and share the living water that we have received with others, no matter what their background is. Don't expect them to change first. Allow them to encounter Christ. Because when that Samaritan woman encountered Christ, nothing else mattered. She was changed, transformed, and experienced a new identity. So take Jesus to others. Share Him. Share that life with others. Let's pray. Lord God, we are grateful for who You are. We're grateful for the ability to learn so much from Your Word. Lord God, we are grateful for that You have poured out Your living water into us. That's a bubbling stream birthing life in our soul through the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I ask You to equip us all to walk with boldness. That we have a boldness empowered by Your Holy Spirit to go into Samaria, go into those areas that people stereotypically ignore. Talk to the people that often no one else wants to talk to. Because Lord God, You died for all, and it says, whoever believes in You shall not perish, but live eternally. So Lord God, we are again grateful for who You are, and we surrender our lives to You. In Jesus' name, amen.